Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Mexodus is a new musical work by Brian Quijada and Nigel D. Robinson, inspired by the estimated 4,000 to 10,000 enslaved people in the southern part of the United States who found new lives in Mexico instead of moving to the north.
I look to the night, stars shining bright, and I glance at open skies. I've heard the tale of Tubman going up and saving lives, falling at drinking gourd up north, avoid all confrontation, but that can't be the only way to slowly chase our own salvation. I've heard by word of mouth down south, they vowed to go without free labor. It's the life that they favor, where free black men roam with no fear of danger. So I look up to the North Star. Should I go against it to fly under the radar and flee from my offenses? Harriet's projection was the way, but now I have to hitch my chariot and point it in the opposite direction. Cause they be coming for me, gunning for me, rushing for me while I'm trying to get free from the wicked I did. But the that I killed had it coming. I'm numbing my body, you see. I can't take it. Better hope I make it. I'm dumping in a boy in the land that we created.
With the support of New York Stage and Film, Brian Quijada and Nigel D. Robinson started working on Mexodus at the beginning of our recent global pandemic. They've been collaborating through technology while physically separate, releasing one track per month with accompanying video of the two artists performing for 12 months. New York Stage and Film will present Mexodus at Vassar College on July 17th at 7 p.m. and at Marist College on July 24th at 3 p.m. Brian Quijada and Nigel D. Robinson, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having us.
Tell me about the historical events, the true history that is the jumping off point for the project from Exodus.
Definitely. A couple years ago, I was, scrolling the Facebook and came across this article that said the undertold story of the Underground Railroad that led south to Mexico. And it blew my mind. I opened it. I was just like, oh, that's a pretty amazing piece of history. It was in history.com, I think. And I read it and it blew my mind. And it also shocked me that I didn't know all of this information. So basically, Mexico banned slavery, abolished slavery, some 30 years before the United States did. Slaves in the southern states of America found it easier to cross the southern border rather than go upwards the northern route, the Harriet Tubman Underground Railroad, the one that we studied in school. Found mm-hmm. it easier to leave, Louisiana, Texas, runaway slaves who found it easier to cross that border. And it is not a lot of, there's a lot of composite history facts about it. There's not a lot. So it's estimated that about 4,000 to 10,000 slaves escaped into Mexico, creating a larger Afro-Latino community in the northern part of Mexico. So those are the facts that we're now basing, that Mexodus, our show, concept album, what have you, is right. Taking all of those little pieces of information that we kind of Frankenstein together, for lack of a better word, to try and create a fictional character based on facts of different stories of runaway slaves.
How do you two know each other and come to work on this together?
Oh, can I say, Brian?
Of course.
This the magical meeting of Brian Quijada and myself. So we have a mutual friend. His name is Chris Blissett, and he's like one of the gods of actor musicianship. And he does this conference every year, and he invited both of us to be guest speakers in it. So I went up and did some stuff. Brian went up and did some stuff. He talked about looping. And then I went up to him and I'm like, I don't know what we can do together, but we should just probably know each other. He was like, yeah, absolutely. So we exchanged information. And then like a week or two later, he was like, yo man, I read about this thing about the Underground Railroad that went south, which blew my mind. And his got blown when he found it on the Facebook, but then mine got blown. He was like, yeah, it went south. And I'm like, I've never heard of that before. So he was like, come over to my house and like, we'll just play around and like, play some music and stuff. And we like, our favorite word is Frankensteining, because that's what we do in order to write music. And like, I threw at some stuff at him that I'd written like a long time ago, like kind of like a Negro spiritual that I like wrote back in 2017. And then Brian, next thing I know, like a few weeks later, I get this email or like phone call from Brian, like, dude, I wrote a song based off of like what we did that day. And then we got hooked up with New York Stage and Film, and the rest is history. Here we are today.
what is your each of your personal tie to that history, to the culture that you're creating the show around? It's a radio interview, so nobody can see you or knows. So please self-identify, I guess, is what I'm asking you to do.
Sure, yeah. So I am first generation Latin American. I don't know, Latinx American, you know. My parents immigrated to the United States in the 70s, crossing that border undocumented across the desert. The immediate tie for me, right, is this idea that we are looking at, we're telling the story in a way telling the reverse border story, right? Like an American, as much of an American born in America, maybe not seen as an American in the eyes of law at that time, but as much of an American as anybody else, crossing that same border for safety into Mexico, right? Which now we see as it's the opposite. It's kind of, my parents fought so much to try to get to this side. So that's why I think for me, the story rings very personal.
I'm African American. I don't know how many generations there have been, but you know, I'm sure that I can tie it back to slavery. And I'm from the South. I'm from North Carolina, so like I've never learned anything about an Underground Railroad that went south. I hardly learned about it, the Underground Railroad that we all know about, because like you know, the education system is wild when it comes to talking about. I mean, it is when it comes to talking about the plight of different peoples. I tie myself to this because I am a descendant of someone like Henry. And it's really close to me because I do like the reverse. I think it's my favorite part about the show is that like, I'm trying to get out of this thing into like, I'm under so much pressure here that I need to escape to the place that people now feel like they're under so much pressure there. They need to come here. It's just so bizarre how it flips. Yeah, that's how I tie myself to this.
There are videos online of the tracks you've created. Frankensteining, I know, is part of it, but they're absolutely wonderful. Not at all monstrous, ultimately.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And in track one, in the first song, one of the lyrics is, we're only singing it because that's the way we live with it. Is that part of the truth of your existence and your processing the history of this? Does your art help you process the world?
Oh, I mean, yes, I think hands down. I mean, you know, there's magical things that happen when you make music collaboratively. Looping this, which is the form in which we make the music, which is layered music making. So I'll do vocal percussion right into the microphone, record that in, that plays, that's recorded in, and then Nigel will hop on his bass, play a bass part, record that in, we both drop those instruments and just start singing and rapping, right? And that art form was born out of a single person wanting to do it. So basically it was there was a very famous guitarist, Les Paul, who basically created this concept of the loop machine. He called it the Les Paulicizer. And it's, you know, he played rhythm guitar like that and recorded, and then he would noodle on top like, right? So with this piece of technology was made popular by musicians who didn't have the extra guitarists or didn't have the extra bassists, right? Or like, and that's what I love the analogy of the loop machine, which is kind of like, we have to make it ourselves. We have to tell these stories ourselves because there's nobody else who's going to help us, or you know, it's just us. Now making it a two-person play and feeling that joy of collaborating, you know, it's often that in writing a song that Nigel and I would send something back and we just, it was such joy. It was like when a really great harmony happens between the two of us. What happens in any musician's room, rehearsal room, is laughter. It's always joy because you're just like, man, that sounded amazing. What joy, like that, you killed that. You know what I mean? It just sparks a smile on your face, even if what you are singing about is awful. And so in a weird way, like it is how we deal with it, I think, it to me at least, and in this play for sure, it's like we're talking about really triggering content, but we're doing it in a way that I think is magical. and it's simple, right? It's just to show that we're playing a, you know, instruments, and when you combine all of them together, it seems like a orchestra, you know? And
right.
And that's what's, I think we've never really, that's a really great question that I don't think I've ever talked through, but that's what it feels like.
It's a coping mechanism for sure. And it's crazy that I never thought, when you brought up that lyric, like I never thought about that. Like, we're only singing it. Oh, that's the way we live with it. Because like, I tend to write about things that are happening in my mind, or like commentary on like what's going on in the world. And it just so happens that we finished Two Bodies, and then George Floyd happened right during that. And that really showed us when we needed to release it, because we released that song like a day or two after he got killed, in the wake of all this stuff going on. So like, I think that—
To clarify, two Bodies is the opening number. Oh, where...
sorry, yes. But it happened right after that. So it was like a way for us to like blow off some steam, you know, and say something to the world like that we were really affected by it. So yeah, we only sing it because that's the way we live with it. It's a coping mechanism for sure.
We only sing it because that's the way we live with it. Hold my dear Lord, give us the freedom, spare your pity, we don't need it like hope. My dear Lord, have mercy on the proud, go ahead and stare at us. We are two bodies in America. Those stories span the country's history that no one's heard about. Cause it wasn't allowed, it wasn't allowed, it wasn't allowed.
It wasn't spoken
Yo,
loud.
There was no loud mouth, deep south secret way of speaking. Whispers only, fingers over mouth, just to avoid the beating. That keeps the locks over mouths held pretty tight. So we struggle to uncover America's other founders' fight. To live in this America, who's scared of us? They came for us, brought all of us, and now we are here. Old roads, dead folks, new laws, new flaws. The same holy cross and the same northern star. Here we are, we got far to go, but we won't keep it low.
We only singing it because that's the way we live with it.
Oh, my dear Lord, give us our freedom, spare your pity, we don't need it like hope. My dear Lord,
have mercy on the proud,
go ahead and stare at us. We are two bodies of America.
We'll bleed the same blood of this country, and stories we'll share with you of a time left out the books. But all it took was deep diving into a sad imagination, a true examination of a nation's early trouble. Cause from the wreck and rubble we came out the other
side. Side, sippity side, when you're living in this country, it's do or die.
And we can tell you how, but first we gonna slow it down.
New York Stage and Film will present Mexodus by Brian Quijada and Nigel D. Robinson at Vassar College on July 17th and at Marist College on July 24th. To learn more, visit newyorkstageandfilm.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at WAMC.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.